We present Kenneth Williams Playhouse, a series of programs which have one thing in common. Their star is Kenneth Williams. This week's Playhouse presentation also stars Lance Percival and Miriam Margolyes in Get On With It.
Hello, Miriam. Hello, Lance.
Hello, Ken.
You know today is going to be a good day.
How do you know?
Well, this morning I felt it. Ooh. I felt it. Yes, all sorts of omens. I'm a great one for omens.
Yes, I've heard.
For a start, listen, I had a great food for breakfast and I managed to cut out alternate segments all the way round.
That's supposed to be lucky.
Yes, and when I got to the station, the train stopped with a carriage door right in front of me.
Well, that's always a good sign.
Yes, then I got here without treading on a single line on the pavement.
I nearly managed that. I nearly managed that, except I suddenly found I couldn't get to the next square.
Oh, why not?
It was on the other side of the road.
A friend of mine found that and tried to jump over, but he walked under a ladder.
Oh, that's unlucky.
I should say, it was on the back of a fire engine. But the fire engine was able to stop because, by chance, a bus pulled up suddenly in front of it.
Well, that was lucky.
No, unlucky. It was a number 13 bus. But it had stopped. It had stopped to let a black cat cross its path.
Oh, that's lucky. A black cat.
Ah, but it was chasing a magpie.
A magpie? No,
magpie.
No, let me see. Yes. One for sorrow, two for joy. Mm-hmm. So one magpie was unlucky.
No, there was another magpie.
Oh, cheat.
Yes, but it flew into a traffic mirror by a level crossing. It broke the mirror, it did.
Oh, that's unlucky. That's 7 years bad luck.
What's more, a train was coming, and because of the broken mirror, the fire engine driver didn't see it coming and was going over the crossing, and with my friend still clinging on underneath.
Oh, how unlucky.
But the fire engine got across.
That's lucky.
But my friend lost his grip and fell on the line.
Yes, yes. Yes,
and the train tried to stop.
That's lucky.
But failed.
Oh, no.
Yes, several carriages went over him before it managed to stop.
Oh, how unlucky.
No, it was lucky. Yes, because when it did stop, he was bang opposite a carriage door. Good day, wasn't he?
And now over to the Old Bailey and the court, presided over by Mr. Justice Fizzwacket.
Call Ralph Blenkinsop!
Call Ralph Blenkinsop!
Call Ralph Blenkinsop!
Are you Ralph Blenkinsop?
Yes, my lad.
And did you, last Saturday afternoon, run the full length of the crowded high street?
Yes, my lad.
And were you completely naked, apart from the saucepan?
Yes, my lad.
Have you ever done this sort of thing before?
No, never, my lad.
Case dismissed. Obviously just a flash in the pan.
Now for our regular phone-in forum. If you've got a problem, why don't you call us up? And the first caller is now on the line.
I'll be short. I'm worried about inflation. I can't make me money go as far as it used to.
And what do you do for a living, sir?
I'm a forger.
An Irish...
A forger.
An Irish forger, yes. And what currency do you forge?
I melt down penny pieces and make twopenny pieces. And sometimes I melt down 10 penny pieces and make 50 penny pieces.
Well, there can't be much profit in that.
I was thinking that myself, so I've started melting down pound notes.
And good luck to you. So next caller, please.
Hello? Hello? This is an obscene phone call.
Hello, hello, heavy breather.
Hello.
You've got the wrong number. Yet the number you want is 6475. Thank you. Now I think we've got a housewife on the line. A housewife?
Yes, hello.
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 And how are you spending this merry morning?
Oh, I like to have a cup of tea and a chap.
A chap?
No, I was joking.
Oh, I see.
Now, I think it's disgusting the way some housewives carry on. I mean, with a milkman and that. It stops them getting on with the housework.
Well, is your milkman like that?
Oh, no. He always helps me make the bed afterwards. By the way, did you transfer an obscene phone call just now?
Yes, I'm sorry. Have you rung to complain?
No, I rang to say thank you.
Well, thank you, and please don't call me at work again, dear. Who's next on the line?
Howdy.
Hello.
I want to say something about the way us outlaws and bad guys is shown in films about the old Wild West.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the way we shown you get to thinking we never shave, we're all spitting and chewing tobacco, wiping our noses on our sleeves. Well, I reckon you ain't got the whole picture.
In what way?
Well, we don't smell too good either.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, John Wayne. Well, perhaps some other people think they get a raw deal in films. Who's the next caller, please?
Hello. I am protesting to Honorable BBC for showing Chinese as inscrutable Fu Manchus, always banging gongs and speaking in proverbs and making up littles for Christmas clackers.
Hello? Making up littles?
Littles for Christmas clackers.
Oh, sorry about this.
We laughing stock. Remember, he who laughs last, laugh longest. And by the way, what is the difference between a fraud squad and a hysterical woman?
I don't know. What is the difference between the fraud squad and an hysterical woman?
One gets twisters in the neck and the other one gets her knickers.
Thank you. And the next caller, please.
Is that Mr. Percival?
Yes.
Oh, how exciting. I always listen to your program.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say.
Oh, yes, I do always. Whenever I'm tired and worn out, or irritable, or miserable even, I know I can always turn to you and the radio.
And you just switch me on?
No, I'll switch you off.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to warm the cockles and the muscles of your hearts with an old sea shanty about a mermaid. Grimsby Bay, I met a maid. She was a mermaid. I was in the fishing trade, and she was quite a dish. Her face was sweet, her hair was straight, her bottom such as I would hate to see carved up at Billingsgate as hunks of fish. A wooing, a wooing, a mermaid meet my room. She was worth pursuing, was my mermaid. I asked her, will you marry me? She said, you're joking. Still, who cares when you're at sea? So on the rocks we played. I held her tight and kissed a lot. I found she wasn't half red hot. The other side, of course, was not with my mermaid. A wooing, a wooing, and so much feeling too. Takes a lot of doing with my mermaid. We had children soon, my sweet. What would they look like with fishies' heads and human feet? Then they'd be caught, I fear. They may not swim so fast or well and may get caught, but I can tell that once on land they'd run like hell and swim back here. A wooing, a wooing, a mermaid be my roo. I feel the troubles brewing with my mermaid. How did you escape our net and our harpoon and gun? But sailors catch what they can get, and they had you in mind. You know how nice your bait can be, and there's no sailor on the sea whose tackle is a threat to me, as you will find. Ah, wooing, ah, wooing, I know what I am doing, and it's better than ship's crewing with my mermaid. Very soon we reach the stage. Where do we go from here? Waterbeds are still the rage. And she said, I dare say, but marry some girl from the docks. With me you'll get some nasty shocks. A marriage started on the rocks will end that way. A wooing, a wooing, a mermaid be my ruin. So I picked her up and threw in my sweet mermaid.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yes?
This is the passport office, is it?
Yes, may I be of assistance?
Oh, yes, I can't get a passport.
You mean you've come to apply for a passport?
Yeah, apply.
I presume you have all the relevant documents duly completed in your possession?
Oh, yes, here's my form and all my things.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. A bit grubby, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it got left in my pants when the wife washed them.
Yes, well, I suppose it could be copied. Yes, let's just see what mistakes you've made here. You people usually do make mistakes. Yes. What's this? Visible peculiarities? None?
No. No.
Well, what about that nose?
What about my nose?
You know, dear, that'll never do. No, no, no. I better alter that to, exceptionally large proboscis.
Yeah. Hang on. What's that mean?
Well, it's a sort of snout or trunk.
You mean like an elephant?
Well, I could say that, yeah. Oh. Now then, these ears of yours, I think they warrant a mention. Let's see now, big floppy ears should cover them, I think.
No, stop it.
Yeah, skin and general appearance should be noted.
What do you mean? What's wrong with my skin?
Well, it's not so much your skin that's at fault. It just doesn't seem to be... There seems to be too much of it, that's all, really. Combine that with your general appearance and you'll see what I mean. Now, general appearance. Yes, somewhat elephantine, I would say.
Elephantine? Hang on. From that description, I'd only need two tusks and I'd be a flipping elephant.
Oh, you mean you're not?
Well, of course I'm not. Any idiot can see that.
Oh, wait a minute. I better put my glasses on.
Yeah, you better put your glasses on.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. You're right. You don't look a bit like an elephant now, do you?
No.
I feel such a fool.
Yes. So, I think so.
Well, I better amend this form then, hadn't
yes.
I? Yes. Yes. Now, how do you spell rhinoceros?
The Unlikely Cases of Sherlock Holmes, number 74. The Italian Restaurant.
Excellent places, these Italian restaurants, Holmes. I mean, like a stomach full of Italian food.
Elementary, my dear Watson. This one is particularly noted for its wines. Waitress, could you pour me a little taste from that bottle of Valpolicella?
Ah, si, signore. Very good. A little to taste.
A new wine, 1974, in fact, dry, from a hillside near the Rhone, I think probably the vineyard of Vicenza.
Oh, very astute of you, Holmes.
I recommend this wine. It is from my own village.
Bottom left-hand corner of the vineyard.
How do you know that, Holmes?
The grapes were harvested from the perimeters of the vineyard, where they're sheltered from the sun half of the day by the hillside of the other valley.
Great heavens, you astound me, sir.
And trodden in the vat by someone with very small feet. The grapes were obviously longer in the treading process. That's always usual, then. It takes someone with small feet longer, you see. Oh, heavens above, Watson. I think we're on to a murder.
What, Holmes?
I can detect a trace of blood. Blood group O. A stabbing, I would say.
How can you possibly know that, Holmes?
I can taste particles of metal from the knife. And there are traces of perspiration, which means the victim was stabbed from in front.
Magnificent, Holmes, but why?
Elementary, my dear Watson. The blood flowed down the front of the body to the toes, where all perspiration of the foot resides, not on the heel.
May I pour the wine now, signor?
Well, wait, you impertinent chit. Now, if he was stabbed from in front, the killer must have been someone he knew. He saw him coming and let him approach. Now, who would he allow to climb in the vat with him?
A friend or a relative?
Or a wife or a lover, Watson? These vineyards are run by families. Wait, though. There's a trace of another blood group. O A negative, if I'm not mistaken. That of a distant cousin, perhaps, who must have inflicted a wound on himself or herself.
You are a genius, Holmes.
Probably when she tried to withdraw the knife. Now, the body must have fallen into the vat, so the killer must have cut her hand trying to retrieve the knife from the depths of the vat before making her escape, probably self-imposed exile to another country.
Remarkable, Holmes.
Shall I pour the wine now, signor?
Our criminal is therefore an Italian from Vicenza, sunburnt on one side of the face due to living in a half-sheltered valley, probably... probably working in a restaurant somewhere with a scar on her head and very small feet, an inherited family feature, with a tendency to fall over.
Holmes, the waitress has fallen over, revealing the other side of her face and a scar on her hand. And she's cut herself.
Just as I thought. Blood group OA negative.
Ah, oh, si, si, signor. Is it true, davvero? Is it true? Pure Papa Roberto. I kill him. Please, no tell, no tell. I will do anything for you. Anything, anything I will do. Tell me, tell me, tell me. What must I do?
Before the wine, dear, we're gasping.
And now back to the Old Bailey and Mr. Justice Fizzwacket.
Call Tiny Shrimpton! Call Tiny Shrimpton!
Call Tiny Shrimpton!
Are you Tiny Shrimpton?
Yes, my lad.
Of near fixed abode?
Yes, my lad.
And are you a circus midget with Scruffy Bill's circus?
Yes, my lad.
And did you on September 28th attempt to assault the giant lady?
Well, yes, my lad.
Have you anything to say in your defense?
Well, yes, I have, my lad. You see, it was my mates what put me up to it.
And now a beauty hint from our beauty expert, Miss Miriam Margulies.
Yes.
And what are you going to tell us about today, Miriam?
How to get rid of your crow's feet.
And how do you do that?
Bash it on the toes with a claw hammer, of course. Doctor, shall I bring the next patient in?
No, yes, no. Yes,
right,
yes,
well, this yes. way, please, sir.
Come in, come in, come in. Now then, what can we do for you? Will you?
Well, I got the blues so bad, I just can't sleep at
night. I beg your pardon?
I said, I got the blues so bad, I just can't sleep at night.
Oh, all right. Yes, the blues, yes, there's a lot of it about, isn't there? Yes. How long have you had this trouble?
Ever since I lost my baby, I can't tell wrong from right.
You lost a baby? Oh, you, dear, why, you, the baby, your baby. Oh, you lost your baby. Ah, yes, I see. Right, but I think we'll just take a few details, don't you? Try to find out what's the cause. Could I have your name?
Well, they call me Howling Jake. I got the Mississippi in my veins.
Mississippi is not a common blood group. Let's see what we can do. And the address, please, Mr. Jake.
I was born in poverty. I've known misery, death, and pain.
Aspirins. Aspirins. Very good for that. We can always slip you a bottle of those. Yes, and how the waterworks.
Well, I just broke out of jail. Now I'm on the run again.
Oh. Right, right. Yes, it's a familiar pattern, isn't it? Yes. Now, I wonder if you would just open your mouth for me. Say ah, please. Could you do that? Say ah. Fine, fine. And again, please. Is that once more, please. Yes, well, there's not much wrong with the old heartbeat, is there? No, look, could you just lie down here on the couch? That's fine. You'd better take your guitar off. That's right. Now, just hold still. I can assure you this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. There, that should do it. Now, Mr. Dunican, shall we try it once again?
Well, hello there.
I'd like to sing a song from Paddy O'Donnelly and Daily Lady's Donkey. Welcome, Paul. Thank you very much.
And once again, over to the Old Bailey and Mr. Justice Fizzwacket.
You see that girl over there, Usher? I say, ask her if she's not doing anything tonight, whether she'd like to come out to a restaurant.
Yes, my lord. Tell that girl the judge would like to take her out to a restaurant if she's not doing anything. Pass it on. Pass it on.
Oh, yes. Tell the girl the judge is going to take her away restaurant for dinner if she's not doing anything. Pass it on.
Yes, yes, all right. Well, tell the girl, all right, that the judge would like to have her for dinner if she's got nothing on.
Excuse me, miss. The judge says he could eat you for dinner and wants to have you.
What?
Only if you haven't got anything on.
Oh, you can tell the judge. I've never heard such a suggestion.
Yes, miss. Tell the judge she's got indigestion. Pass it on.
Is she ill?
Oh, yes. You can tell the judge. Pass it on.
Oh, she's ill. Can you tell it's something the judge has passed on?
Pardon?
The judge has passed on.
The judge has passed on. Good. I must pass it on to the usher. Usher. I'm told the judge has passed on.
Well, it looks all right to me.
Have you passed it on?
I've passed it.
What are you muttering about, usher? Will that girl come out and have dinner with me tonight?
No, my lad. Well, she thinks you'll pass it.
Now it's time for our midnight horror story, the gripping tale of the American city terrorized by the giant spider. Let us turn the pages of the casebook of investigator extraordinary Gritstone. The story starts in a small municipality on the edge of the Arizona desert, in the house of a distraught scientist. To his rescue comes Gritstone.
Good evening.
Ah, you come just in time. I was just going out. You must be Gritstone.
Investigator extraordinary.
Yes, I see what you mean.
And this is Miss Cherry, my aide.
Hi, Doc.
But Gritstone, she's a woman.
There, I told you that chest wig wouldn't fool anybody.
But this is no place for a woman. Anyway, come in, the pair of you. And you too, Gritstone, yes. Something terrible has happened. It almost happened, you see, for years. I've been working on a growth booster drug to find the secret of growth acceleration in animals. Their acceleration, you understand. Last night I injected a spider with a drug, and this morning I came down to my laboratory and it was gone.
And you want us to find your laboratory?
No! The spider! There's no telling what size it could be by now. You see, just knocked down an entire outside wall there. What shall I do?
Who could build on a sun lounge?
Look, out there in the desert!
Good heavens, a spider.
It must be all of 100 feet high.
Ooh, I haven't seen an insect that big since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Ooh. Look, it's heading towards the city.
Oh, don't it know it's early closing? Pull it back, Doc, pull it back. What's his name?
No, I have no control over it.
There's only one thing to do. Give me a double dose of the growth booster drug.
Now, what good will that do?
Well, then I can go out and check on it.
No, I can't let you do that, Doctor. You see, I love him.
Well, I can see your problem, Miss Cherry, but don't worry. I can get him back to normal afterwards.
You can?
Now, this won't hurt a bit, Gritstone. Yes. Yeah, won't hurt a bit. It'll hurt a lot. Never mind. Now you should start growing. There. I've seen grown men weep after injections, but I've never seen a weeping man grow. 8 feet, 9 feet, 10 feet behind the ceiling, Gritstone! Oh, I should have taken him outside the house first.
What's happening, Doc? And what's that marble pillar? I wasn't there just now.
That's Gritstone's leg, Miss Cherry.
And what's that?
His other leg.
And what's that?
Well, that's his... Hey, wait a minute. How many legs has your friend... How many legs has your friend got here? 2, 4, 6, 8? And they're mighty hairy.
Doc, you've turned him into a spider.
Oh, butterfingers.
Look, he's going out after the other one. Give me the antidote syringe. I'm going after him.
No, hey, come back, Miss Terry. Come back and tear you apart. Come back.
Well, you've sure done it this time, Doc.
You've started a proper panic.
Listen to that. That's just the police force. All right, men, get your guns loaded and fire away.
No, you can't do that, sir.
Hold it.
You might hit the girl.
What's she doing out there?
She's in love with one of the spiders.
Well, it takes all sorts, I suppose.
Injection to reduce the size.
What about the girl?
Well, she's okay for size.
Well, here it comes. Good luck, Doc. Good luck.
Oh, you're just in time, Doc.
Where's Doc?
Yeah, that was a close shave. I nearly had Miss Cherry on top of me.
Hello, everybody.
Miss Cherry, what have you done with the spider?
I injected it with the antidote. He's back to normal.
A little spider?
No, silly. Look, here he is.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, 2 gridstones? Yeah. Oh, no, that's worse than big spiders.
All right, squad. Number off from the left. Now.
1, 2, 3.
Four. All right, you horrible lot. Let's have it again, properly this time, properly. Number off from the left. Now.
1, 2, 3.
Four. All right, you. Are you one?
Yes, you one too.
This week's Kenneth Williams Playhouse presentation was Get On With It by Peter Spence, with additional material by Arnold Brown, Jeremy Brown, Howard Ember, Les Lilly, Patrick Murray and Brendan Martin, Phil Redmond and David Wenwick. The music was by the Nick Rowley Trio. The show, of course, starred Kenneth Williams, Lance Percival, Miriam Margolese, and was produced by Simon Brett.